This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Space Force. Now, on June 18th this year, President Trump announced that he was directing the Pentagon to develop a new branch of U.S. military called Space Force that would give U.S. the dominance in that realm. And it would be, he said, and he also used classic phrases from Jim Crow's era of racial segregation. He said, like, separate but equal to the U.S. Air Force. What's separate but equal here? Anyways, it also sounds very much like a Star Trek kind of thing, you know, Space Force and all this kind of...
It does, but it does seem that the Air Force in particular doesn't want to be separate, no matter how equal anyone is, because it currently looks after space, and it doesn't want to give up that budget and that control to
exactly
anyone.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, like, it actually came as a surprise, not just to us, but even to people around him, his advocates, like the advocates of the Space Force concept, his Space Council, chaired by Vice President Mike Pence, and it's advised by a flock of space and defense industry executives. They were informed of Trump's decision to proceed with what they call is the Sixth Army Service, just shortly after he made that announcement. So it's very much kind of like, I think he just taught it on the spot. And
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think he probably watched Starship Troopers on a plane once, but he saw it with Russian subtitles and thought that it was actually a Russian training video.
Probably.
So this is his reaction to other countries being in space. Honestly, I don't know what to say. I mean, I am so... space oriented.
Yeah.
In theory, Space Force is like something that for me should be like, wow, amazing, where can I join? But we all know that it's just absolute nonsense.
Yeah. The thing is, though, just like us and what we do on the show when we talk about Space Force, it's just been ridiculed everywhere. I think even in TV stations, I watch the Stephen Colbert show, and even then, you know, like, he mocks and like he ridicules.
Yeah. The same Seth Meyers, Trevor Noah.
I mean, everyone
does
it.
They all
right?
have. But the thing is, America already has a Space Force.
Exactly.
It has the Air Force and NASA. And they do a really fantastic job. And then the intelligence agencies, on top of that, do their own space-based programs for information gathering.
Mm.
So there is already a lot of American Armed Forces presence in space.
Exactly. Now, the thing is, though, Donald Trump loves the idea of boldly going where no president has gone before, in the same way that, you know, maybe how a child would cherish his, you know, his beloved toy in that sense, or his puppet in that way, right?
Yes.
And just recently, the Space Force, which is the sixth branch of armed forces, they apparently laid out a memo that is trying to establish action plans so that they could roll out Space Force by the fiscal year of 2020. The thing is, though, the U.S. Space Force, the U.S. Air Force has already been in charge of taking care of our space in that way, right? Do we actually really need a separate entity that's called Space Force? And does it need to be a national agenda? Shouldn't it be a global agenda? Shouldn't be space be neutral?
It should be neutral. I mean, the idea of a militarized space is bad to begin with. I mean, that's one of the things that detractors are saying, that if you do this, then of course Russia and China and India and everybody else has to respond. So the only reason to put
things... And you don't want them to
respond. You don't want them to respond. So the only reason to put things up in space is if any of those countries start to do their own things in space. There's also the fact that everything that we've tried to do in space with weapons so far has been an absolutely miserable success. Mm. Now, I think some US defense officials are claiming that it would be quite easy to put these systems into space. Well, Reagan had the Star Wars, the SDI, the Space Defense Initiative, which was X-ray powered lasers. That went nowhere. George Bush had Pebbles, missiles that would sit in space. That went nowhere. We've been talking about, over the last few years, a missile interception system, which I think is probably laser-based or something, I don't know, that would sit in space and would be able to fire down sort of North Korean missiles. Apparently, the system just to control North Korea, which we think only has six or seven warheads at this point, would cost around $300 billion. Now, multiply that by China and Russia and all the countries that pose like a real major credible threat in terms of nuclear capability. And that suddenly becomes absolutely phenomenal. So how is all of this money going to be corralled? How is it going to be raised? Even a lot of officials within the Pentagon and the defense industry are against this because, again, once you have to start spending on infrastructure, you're not actually spending on the research and the money with those companies to do things. You're just buying buildings. You're just hiring people. So they also want to see all of this staying within the existing structures. And of course, why do we want a war in space?
Yeah, why do we? But maybe they are also looking at ways. Maybe it's not for war because the new memo here that is released, some of the action plan here kind of removes space from the U.S. Air Force responsibility. And the U.S. Air Force is a military based agenda in that sense, right?
But when you say it's not about war, when you put anything defensive anywhere, that defensive thing has to be offensive. So the person you're defending yourself from sees it as something offensive towards them. So that's when you start scaling towards war. That's why we call things the path to war, because it's a game of one-upmanship. You do one thing, the opponent does the other thing, so you do something else, and then suddenly you're hitting each other in the middle.
Maybe they should just change it to and rebrand this whole thing to space cleanup wars, because space needs cleaning. There are a lot of there's a lot of space debris out there, rubbish out there. Well, I remember watching Neil deGrasse Tyson. He came on to one of the late night shows and he talked about, you know, the idea of Space Force shouldn't be kind of like dismissed immediately, but there is the focus of what it should do should move to cleaning up space.
But again, that's kind of what people like NASA should be doing.
They don't have the money, though.
Well, they don't. But then money that could go to them shouldn't be going to a space force.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you go around in a circle. But I do have a solution for this.
Yes.
And it goes back to the point you made earlier that he is a bit like a kid. So what I suggest is, in 2020, when Space Force is supposed to launch, sit Donald Trump down, put on a few episodes of Thunderbirds. I know it's puppets, but he doesn't know the difference between puppets and a real boy. And he can just sit there. You can tell him that is the official launch of Space Force, that Troy Tempest is Space Force and whoever the other people in Thunderbirds are.
I would one up that. I would actually put on Fox News of them live streaming of the jet that's going to go up to space. So, you know, it's kind of like him watching Fox News that is watching him going up to
create
space.
Create a feedback loop.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that would really work well.
Link everyone on a telecast that just goes round forever.
Exactly.
It might start a black hole.
It probably did. It might kill the internet as well. Anyways, we'll come back with King of the Crowd. Do we have King of the Crowd this time around, Matt?
We have something that is more confused by the crowd and down in the dumps, I think.
Oh, well, we may have a new category. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Barcelona. Fiorentina. Manchester United, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sander, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Now, let's go on to our crowdfunding pick of the week. Normally, we have King of the Crowd, which is, you know, those that are really well done, very creative. And then we've got Confused by the Crowd, which we're kind of confused about. And then Down in the Dumps, which is just absolutely horrible. This, however, it's called The Bit Chill. Name-wise, it's probably up there in King of the Crowd. But what
name-wise,
is this, Matt?
No, but this is just a terrible idea that I'm incredibly confused by. So this is just an amalgamation of the other categories. The bed chill is a table. It's a table that slides up and down your bed. It does have, if you get the Plus version, it has an embedded Bluetooth speaker and it has power ports in it. So the idea is that you can sit in bed and work and have your breakfast and You shouldn't be
sitting
in.
Is this a table then, right?
It's a table and it's on wheels and you can slide it up and down the bed. This is something that has existed for many, many years.
Where can we find this in many, many years? Remind me, where have I seen this table with wheels?
Well, if you've been to a hospital, if you've had the misfortune to be in one or you've visited a friend in one, it's exactly the same as one of those tables that slides up and down the bed. The only difference is it has a little lip in it to stop your laptop from sliding off if you're watching a movie. And the other big difference, apart from between this and something you can go to IKEA and pick up for next to nothing and just whack some wheels on, is the fact that it costs 400 euros.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, you can adjust the height. And like I said, it slides backwards and forwards. But if you want the large, the king size bedside in the plus with all the electronic gizmos, because let's face it, if there's no Bluetooth speaker and no PowerPoints, this thing is pointless.
It's a table.
It is 420 euros, and that is a discount of around 550 euros on its actual price. This thing is ridiculously expensive. And like I said, you can just go and buy one of those skinny desks from IKEA and put a couple of casters on the bottom, and you'll probably get change out of 200 ringgit.
However, though, it's been funded on Indiegogo.
Right. This is the confused part. It has been funded to the tune of nearly 400,000 euros.
Wow.
Who, in their right mind, has bought a hospital table? It doesn't even look particularly nice. It's just like a white melamine type cover. It's just, it looks really rough.
Yeah.
Looks a bit cheap. It looks like a $200 piece of IKEA furniture.
Yeah, 200 ringgit as well.
200 ringgit, I mean. Yeah, not 200 US dollars. But this thing is 400 euros. And I believe you will still have to pay shipping on top of that.
Of course, for
a table is probably going to cost you just as much as the cost of it. So I am very confused by the bed chill. If you're one of the people who feels a need to sit in bed and work, that's what we have tables for. Go to the table and work. Yeah. Don't work in bed. Same with watching a movie. You don't have to do it in bed. Or put a screen on your wall. You do not need a 400 euro sliding table going up and down your bed.
People invest in very silly things. That's what we've learned from, you know, our episodes of the King of the Crowd and Down in the Dumps.
It's just really weird. I mean, you see something that you think is a really good idea and hardly anyone invests in it. Then you see something like this. I mean, the other one that gets loads of investment, no matter what it is those spinner fidget toys.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
If you say that it's a luxury balanced brass spinner, wow. 20,000 people have funded you and you've got $1 million US.
There you go. That's how you make a million.
Exactly. And you've made them in some sweatshop in China for 50 cents a piece.
Exactly that. Anyways, if you're one of those who's actually bought the bed chill, you could tweet Matt Armitage.
No, if you're one of those people who has bought the bed chill, you should listen to our Mansplained episode on mental health.
Now, let's move on to a story we wanted to do last week, but we didn't have time. But it's fairly interesting because we talked about how we give so much of power to data companies. Now, though, there's another way that you can engage with this data company, and that is through your car. Because Audi's new fully electric e-tron SUV, I like the name though, e-tron SUV, will be the car maker's first vehicle to integrate Amazon Alexa's voice assistant. So you could do literally everything you do from your, you know, asking the weather, the traffic, ordering food, turning on the aircon and off and all those kind of stuff, just via the voice command that will be, I think it's a button on the steering wheel. It's not really like, you know, constantly on, but there you go. It's another way of data companies knowing a lot about you because now they can probably track where you drive as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is quite interesting, especially from the point of view that Amazon has also partnered with Audi to install these chargers as well. So, you know, they, like we keep saying on the show, Amazon just keeps going into these things and it keeps ticking other little boxes of distribution and logistics. So yes, there is the side of this that you're sharing your data with Amazon. And if you're not, if you don't think that that's particularly important, again, just imagine what you do with your car. This will tell Amazon exactly where you go to shop. It will tell what car parks you go in, so what malls you visit, what kind of price bracket you're in. All of this information can then be fed back into the information that's given you on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Of course, depending on what the data sharing agreement with Audi actually is.
Mm.
But on the other hand, it's quite straightforward, I think, why Audi would want to partner with Amazon for Alexa, because a lot of cars or car manufacturers have put voice control systems.
And they're horrible.
And they're awful, yeah. Anyone who's said, call Jeff and had the hazard lights and the emergency parking brake jam
horrible.
On instead, are awful. So you can imagine why these companies don't want to duplicate what Amazon is already doing. But I think there are very real privacy concerns here. So we really should know what the agreement is for the data, and also whether that data is linked to things like our Amazon.com account. You know, how far this information is spreading.
Yeah. Then next thing you know, you could be your entire data is just, you know, handled by one big company, and that's what you don't want.
Well, that's why I keep saying it looks like Amazon may well be that company in 10 or 15 or 20 years' time. Not because it's doing anything underhand, but simply because it's using its power to get into so many different sectors. Like I said, it's just simply adding extra boxes to the things it already does.
Mm.
And it just becomes so vast. And really, it's all using the same back end.
Mm.
But in terms of our lives, it's sewing up, you know, every little part of them.
Now, moving on to Geek Tunes, we may possibly have the shortest song ever in the 9 years of our history.
Yes, but this is a really pretty song. That's why I included it. This is by a guy called Tony Molina, who's been around the kind of indie rock scene in lots of bands for the last kind of 15 or 20 years. He's been making increasingly kind of West Coast pop rock influence records, going back to that kind of 1960s sound. And this is just one of those really nice, summery, full of harmonies kind of songs. It just happens that it's only 1 minute and 12 seconds. So enjoy the next 1 minute. This is Tony Molina, Nothing I Can Say.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.